Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Martin Strang.
Okay, this is a strange sort of feeling. I've forgotten something, but I don't think I have. Pastor Paul said to me in the text he sent with the greeting, make sure we finish at 12:30, which we will, and make sure that we're out of here by 2:45, which we will. So obviously he's got a New Year resolution in place to do that. Now then, I've been in a bit of a dilemma about what to bring this morning. I had a word, I know I have a word here. I always have two, and I'm just seeing how God is going to put it all together, really. I think I'll go with what I had first off, because that's what came first. Now then, as a church, we're quite a noisy, excited lot, which is good, which is great. And it's good to be like that. There's nothing wrong with it. Other churches are different. Some people don't like this sort of type of worship. And not comfortable with it, that's fine, that's okay. My hand doesn't do the job of my head, and my foot doesn't do the job of my hand. You know, and that's the way the body of Christ is. We read about it in the Word of God. But one of the things I often find, and I'm speaking to myself here, that is missing in the life of the church is peace. There's lots of exuberance, lots of joy, lots of excitement, lots of striving sometimes. I think, thank God, we're out of the striving thing now. We go into it occasionally. But we don't need to be in it. We don't need to strive to please God or strive to get anywhere with God, because he does it in us and through us anyway. So what's the point of striving? If you've got someone there who's going to do it for you, then let them do it. So that's what he's going to do this morning. Now, I wrote something down. It came as a bit of a revelation to me, but it won't be to you, because you're all Bible scholars and you all know these things, you see. So I wrote this, and as I was praying yesterday, I said, well, God, you're talking about peace. I mean, what a big subject. You know, where do we start? Israel? You know, we could, couldn't we? We could say all sorts of things. And he just said to me quite simply, he says, to live in peace, there has to be a dying. And I thought about it, and I thought, yeah, that's right. There does. If I want to live in peace with God, then I have to die. And I have to continue to die. Now, that is where it becomes difficult. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yeah? Nothing we have as a church, nothing God gives us, in a sense, comes free. It does come free. It's all freely given by God. But what we do with it then is the part where the cost comes in. Because when we take on to want to do the things that Jesus did, and he said, greater things than these shall you do because I go to the Father, in John 4:12, whichever it is. Doesn't matter really, you can look it up at home. I say you're all Bible scholars here. That's when the cost comes. That's when it gets difficult. You know, we make these huge prayers, or I often do. We get called up. You know, we had Dr. James up here last year. We had Clive up here last year. And we had Pastor Colin up last year. And God sort of built boom, 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 like that, like a real sort of rocket launching place. And after Dr. James and Clive had been, the church was moving in something very powerful in terms of the supernatural dynamic of healing and deliverance in a way that we've not seen this church move. And as Keith has said, certainly not in his time, so that's a few years. Now, that's all great, that's all good, but it does churn up stuff inside. It churns up a lot of stuff inside, and in here especially. Ask my wife. I'm only saying this because I just want to be honest with you. I don't want to talk about me, but it's sometimes helpful if you identify what you've walked through and are walking through, because other people say, oh yeah, I understand that. So that's a bit of what I want to do, really. The world is in tremendous turmoil. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to see that, do you? If you put the television on, financially, most of the world is in a financial state of disaster. People are in fear of their jobs, their pensions. The spirit of this age is what has done that. It has gripped hold of the nations of the earth and produced a spirit of greed and grabbing within people. And unfortunately, we as Christians have often got caught up with that. And the pressure to conform and to do what everybody else does and to be like everybody else is. And when you're in that sort of situation, you end up striving and grabbing and pulling and conniving almost to try and find ways that you can fit in with the way the world lives. Well, the net result of that is we end up with debt. We end up with huge sort of credit card bills. We're basically in a place of deception. You agree? Yeah. Now the Bible calls this, interestingly enough, tribulation. And if you turn to John 16 and verse 33. Now, Jesus had been talking about his going away, effectively, and what was going to happen in the previous verses. He's then explaining to the disciples why he had come, what he was going to do, that he'd overcome the world. And he says in verse 32 of John 16, he says, "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things, verse 33, have I spoken to you, that in me, not apart from me, but in me, you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." So you see, there's two very clear-cut places to live there. We can live in the world and have tribulation and have all this stuff that I've just spoken of, this sort of really negative, pressurizing stuff that pulls us all down when we do get into it. Or we can live the life of the overcomer who lives within us. He says, "Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." That's the place I want to be. I believe that's the place we all want to be. That's, if we're really honest, that would be the place we confess that we are, but are actually walking towards all the time and walking into all the time. And it's becoming a growing thing. It's not an instant thing. Nothing in the Christian life is instant, except perhaps miracles and healings and things like that. In terms of fruitfulness, it is a growing into fruitfulness. Okay, so let me just read something to you. This is what Strong's says about tribulation. The Greek word, for those of you who like this sort of thing, I can barely pronounce it because I haven't got a lisp, thlipsis. Thlipsis. It says pressure, oppression, stress, anguish, tribulation, adversity, affliction, crushing, squashing, squeezing, distress. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Really? That's what tribulation is. That's what the world is currently experiencing. That's what we will experience if we want to have one foot in the world and try and have one foot in the kingdom. Normally what happens is you topple into the world. That's my experience. The world is that attractive, it's that subtle, that often we just fall into it and take on board all the stuff the world takes on board. And a lot of it looks really good, really attractive, nice, you know, and there's nothing wrong with having decent stuff and a decent house and all that sort of thing. But it does come sometimes at a cost, because sometimes greed can be involved, that we want to keep up with the bloke next door or the people at work or whatever, you know, because they've got a nice big... Now, I'm not having a go at anybody here for anybody who's got one of these, okay, a flat-screen TV. All right, they're just the in thing. All the old technology is going out and it's changing. But sometimes it's sort of, oh, crumbs, you know, there's nothing wrong with the one I've got. I'll throw it away and I'll get another one, you know, and you spend sort of $400, $500, $600, whatever you want, an astronomical amount of money on something that you can sit and look at when you want to and doesn't really probably benefit you very much in the long term. I've got to be careful what I'm saying here. Okay, another way of looking at this is this. I'll just carry on with this explanation of tribulation. And this really, really spoke to me, actually. Imagine placing your hand on a stack of loose items and manually compressing them. That is thlipsis. Whatever it is, putting a lot of pressure on that which is free and unfettered. You and I are free and unfettered. The blood of Jesus has already bought that. We are free and unfettered. But if we allow the spirit of this age to come in, it will put that pressure upon us. It's a bit like squashing grapes. I don't know if anybody ever been to a vineyard and seen grapes being squashed, or seen it on the telly or something like that, or olives being crushed to produce the oil. That's what the spirit of this age, the spirit of the world, does to us. And all the bits that are loose and free suddenly start to become congealed and crushed and broken and pressurized. I don't want to live like that. Okay, then, so what is this peace? What is this peace? It's amazing when you ask people, what is peace, the different definitions you get. I think we get a lot if we went around this room this morning too. It can be an absence of stress and conflict that we've already said. I mean, that would be great. Anybody like to live stress-free? Yes? Yes? Well, some of us would. Now, the rest of you obviously enjoy stress. Okay, well, we'll pray for you afterwards. Should we try that again? How many people would really like to live stress-free? Yes. Oh, that's a bit better. The rest of you weren't listening. Okay, that's better. Okay, financial security. If we have financial security, it brings a measure of peace, doesn't it? That's true. If we're struggling financially, and folk in this church, I know there are those who do struggle financially, it brings a pressure. And it's not always an easy one to cope with. a good standard of living, which pretty much goes with the financial security. If you're financially secure, you will probably have a fairly good standard of living. So again, a form of peace, but not the peace we're aiming at. Harmonious relationships. That's a good word. How's the marriage going? Can I ask? How's our married relationships, for those of us who are married? Are they harmonious? They might have their moments, of course. I expect all relationships do. But are generally, are they harmonious? Or do we just go off and do our own thing and meet together at bedtime when we get into bed? Okay. That's not really peace. If they're harmonious, then yes, there's a form of peace again. And nothing is worse than an unharmonious relationship. Very difficult. A beautiful place. Those of us who like walking and things like that, you know, a beautiful sunset, a scene. Those things can bring a sort of form of peace, but they're not peace in itself. Old Testament word that all of you will know, shalom. I seem to remember doing this once before here, actually. And I thought myself, I'm repeating a preach I did about, I don't know, sometime last year maybe, or whatever. Doesn't matter. Shalom is a greeting. If you are a Jew, if you're not a Jew, you greet somebody with shalom. And shalom, we think, generally means peace. It actually means a great deal more than that. It means to be complete, perfect, and full. It's not the absence of war. It's not the absence of stress. It means to be complete, perfect, and full. Now, that's beginning to move a little bit towards where we're supposed to be going to know what peace is and to experience it. The reason I'm bringing all this is because God said to me, I want my people this morning to experience peace. Not just to know about it, but actually to experience it. To walk into it this morning. It's going to be like a blanket of peace. If it isn't already happening now, it's going to be coming across onto this meeting and dealing with all sorts of stuff in people's minds here this morning. Worries, fears and anxieties. And you're going to walk out of here knowing those things are in God's hands and not in yours anymore. Because you're going to be able to let go. Okay, you're going to be free. You're not going to be crushed like that pile of stuff. You're going to be free and unfettered, as that word said, which is where we are. Okay, shalom. It says it's mentioned about 250 times in the Old Testament, so it's quite important, really, isn't it? It's not a word we can ignore. It has in it, again, similarly, completeness, wholeness, peace, health, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility. There's loads of them, all adjectives here. Prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, the absence of agitation or discord. I think that's fabulous, don't you? It is the wholeness that the entire human race seeks. Now, how are the whole human race going to find it? They ain't going to find it if you and I don't walk in it and learn to walk in it. They can't, can they? Where else are they going to find it? Apart from those who supernaturally God intervenes. You know, we hear wonderful things of Muslims getting sort of divine visitations from God and Hindus getting divine visitations, seeing dreams of Jesus and coming to know Jesus. That's fantastic, but by and large, I think the responsibility is given to us to go and tell, not to wait for the Holy Spirit to come and do it. We just got to get up and go and do it. And then people are going to see the peace. You know, it's as we go and do, God actually does something. While we sit and wait for it to happen, nothing happens very much. We just get stale and we do actually end up a bit crushed and pressurized because we pressurize ourselves and thinking, I should be doing this and I'm not. I ought to be doing this, and I don't want to. Now I'm feeling condemned because I haven't done what I thought I should do. Now I don't know where I am at all because I'm becoming extremely confused by the whole thing. What did God say to me in the first place? I really don't know. Perhaps I'll just jack it all in and I'll hope church will sort me out on Sunday. I couldn't repeat that. Don't ask me to. I couldn't. I really couldn't. So, shalom was what they had, a peace of God in the Old Testament. Many, many references to it in the Old Testament. Seek peace and pursue it. Seek a relationship with God that was harmonious was really what God was saying. They didn't have, as you will see in a minute, the gift of peace. Now, it was promised. If we go into Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, we're going back to Christmas again. We did this before Christmas. Those of you who were in church at Christmas, was anybody in church at Christmas? Oh, great. Good, good. Any of you managed to bless any of the churches around here by going to one of them over Christmas? No? No? Listen, guys, churches together is still alive and thriving, and it'll be alive and thriving a great deal more if we can support it more. by being there, not by praying for it. Okay? It's not what we can get out of it, it's what we can give and what we can impart. Maybe at the moment there won't be so much coming from it to us, but there's a very great deal in here that can go there. I'm just throwing that in for this year because there's all sorts of stuff coming up this year, including an on the move. So I hope you'll be ready for that when it comes. Okay, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So, there's the prophetic word of it again. Okay, Isaiah 53, verse 5 is another one. These are all scriptures we know, and I am so very glad God makes it simple. It's just us who make it complicated. Isaiah 53, 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement, the punishment for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Yeah? In verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The chastisement, punishment for our peace was upon him. Peace is already there. It's here. You know, when we first come to the Lord, quite often, there is just that wonderful sense of peace because everything's cleaned off. You know, we know when we come and we've repented of our sin and our backsliddenness or whichever sort of place we've come from, we'll say, Lord, I really do want to follow you with everything I am. Will you wash me? Will you cleanse me? And he does. And there's just that tremendous sense of well-being, of peace, and of wholeness, isn't there? And wholesomeness. Yeah? Within here and right through. And you just look at things and you look at people, you look at your life, you know, in a whole different way. It's not sort of, oh, crumbs, I've got work tomorrow. You know? That mentality goes when we're walking in the peace of God. And it's not, oh, gosh, I've got to go and see this person. I've got to do this. It's this sort of got-to-do mentality just goes. There comes a flow to our life when we walk in the peace of God that it's all a joy to do it. And it's great. And it's easy, isn't it? When we're not walking in the peace of God, it is blooming hard work. Agreed? So if you're finding it blooming hard work at the minute, I think what you need to do is to spend a bit of time with the Lord and to seek God and get back to that place where you were, where it went wrong. And it did go wrong somewhere if you're not walking in the peace of God now. There will be a point which you made a decision, said something, did something, didn't do something that God might have asked you to do. And it's time to say, right, Lord, I will go and do that thing. I'll put that relationship right. I repent this attitude. Whatever it is. And God will restore you peace. And life will change. And it's like that. It is like that. It's not just something that happens occasionally, gradually, slowly. When we're right with God, it happens instantly because he wants it right. I mean, he's just sort of there. Come on, come on, come on. I want it right. I really want to walk, you know, this peace I have in you. I want it to be released through you. I want you to walk in it. I want you to enjoy it. I want others around you to enjoy it. It's time to seek the Lord as we start this year. It's time to sort out stuff. I don't mean become navel gazers. I don't mean that at all. But it's time to say, hang on a minute. I'm not walking in peace this morning, Lord. What are the issues? Or what are the things I'm actually doing that I've taken on board, perhaps, that I shouldn't have taken on board? I didn't need to take on board. Maybe responsibilities work-wise. Maybe even be responsibilities church-wise that you took on because you thought, I better do it because nobody else will. Well, if that's the way you did it, drop it. That's not really the right way to do it. It really isn't. All it will do is bind you up and it will make you feel squeezed and pressurized apart from being free and unfettered, which is where God wants you to be. He wants you to be free and unfettered. He wants me to be free and unfettered. Okay, John 14. Pastor Colin's favourite book. This really is very easy, isn't it? It's very, very easy. Actually, just before we go to that, yeah, it's all right, I'll look up something else. You look up that, I'll look up something else. Just a bit more on this word, peace. The Greek version of this word is slightly different. Hope you don't mind all this sort of Greek stuff. I just find it fascinating to see how things change with the change of the anointing, which is really what has happened. Luke 1:79 says this. This is prophetic of Jesus, okay? to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Peace, the Greek word is Irene, or Eirene is how they pronounce it. So the name Irene comes from it. Now, it includes harmonious relationships. It says all the other things that Shalom said, okay, if you can remember all those, but it includes harmonious relationships between God and men, men and men, nations and families. Isn't that a change? You know, over a change of covenant through the blood and the death of Jesus on the cross, we now have not just peace, but reconciliation. It expands to something even bigger than peace. There's a reconciliation that comes there. I'm at one with Mike because of the blood of Jesus. You know, if I'd met him and he'd met me as non-Christians, we'd probably get on okay. We've got things in common. I'm just saying this because I know you. But there's other things about each of us that we would probably just be good friends. But as it is in God, we're very good friends. Don't see much of each other, but we are very good friends. See, and the same with Steve. You might have thought, well, I'll get to know him, old bloke, you know, what can he say to me? What can he do for me? But because Christ, the peace of Christ, lives in me and lives in you, and he's reconciled us to himself and to each other. You know, I can sit and share the Lord and share stuff about families and home and the things you're doing. And it's good. You can have a good time. You know, it's the same with anybody in here. Any of you can sit with anyone in this room. And if you're walking in the peace of God, you have no problem with relationship. There is no problem with relationship. You know, it's when we're not in that peace, we want just to pull away and get out of it and think, no, this is just a bit too much. It's because we're not walking in peace. It really isn't. Okay. John 14, 26 and 27. Jesus said this. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. I think that's brilliant. We all know that verse, don't we? But the Holy Spirit will bring all things. Now go back to what I said a bit earlier. If you're not walking in peace this morning at the start of this year, ask the Holy Spirit, will you please show me where I'm missing it? Wherever it is, whatever has been undone needs to be redone, or other way around, whatever it is, whatever I've done I need to undo. Please will you show me? And he will. What does it follow on to say? Peace, verse 27. I leave with you. My peace I give to you. It's a gift, something to be taken. It's like forgiveness. You know, we say to the Lord often, Lord, will you forgive me? And the Lord says, yes, I do. Now receive it. And we don't receive it. You know, sometimes we pray for people out here. And, you know, it's like a struggle to receive something from God. Don't have to struggle to receive it. Just receive it by faith. Say, thank you, Lord. And take it. You know, I've done it so many times. I mean, I can't find it in my pocket. I've got a note in my pocket. I give it to Steve and say, Steve, it's a blessing for you. I hope he would just say, cool, thanks, man, that's great. You know, and take it and use it. If he would say, oh, no, I couldn't do that. It would stop me blessing him. It would stop him receiving blessing. Yeah? Forgiveness is the same. The peace of God is the same. They are all gifts. I give him a gift. Forgiveness is a gift. Peace is a gift. If we want to walk in it, we have to receive it. Isn't just saying, oh, I've got Jesus in my life, therefore I am at peace. There is truth in that, yes, because Jesus is our peace, which is obviously where we end up coming to. I just wrote down here, peace is experienced when sin is absent. True, isn't it? When we're not walking in disobedience to the Lord, we walk in peace. And we're chilled out. It's today's expression. I like it when I'm chilled out. I don't like it when I'm not very much. I don't suppose other people like it very much, do they, Don? Colossians 1, 19 and 20. Have a look there. Find Colossians. Comes here somewhere. Now this is kingdom peace. This is what Jesus is talking about. This gift is kingdom peace. It's not just a nice feeling. It's not about a nice feeling. It's about a whole lifestyle of living. Verse 19 of Colossians 1 says, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. He did it. It's for us. We can receive it. That is kingdom peace. Look at verse 21. He talks about us being reconciled, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Amazing, isn't it? That's what peace does. It reconciles you, brings you back. They're sort of one and the same thing in a way, but one comes out of the other, and one works with the other. Ephesians 2:14-18. And just nip back there. Somebody's hungry. What does it say here? For he himself is our peace. He himself. Not an experience, although he is an experience to be experienced. He himself. We're talking about a living, real person. We're talking about Jesus. He's talking about Jews and Gentiles here. Who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. God sees peace, despite what we see on our televisions at the moment with Israel and Gaza and everything else. God sees peace because Jesus has already done it on the cross. That's the awesome thing about that. That's how we can pray with such tremendous confidence for the peace of Jerusalem, because Jesus has already bought and paid for it. We don't have to try and press gang him into doing something different than he's already done. It's done. It's finished. It's already there. It's established in heaven. And as we pray it and believe it, so it will be established on the earth, irrespective of what we see. We can either choose to believe our circumstances or believe the word. That's a choice we have. And it's the same with peace, walking in peace. You know, some of us could perhaps produce bank statements here this morning that others of you who are good money managers will say, oh, goodness me, how do you live like that? Doesn't matter, I'm at peace. Now, what I'm saying, I don't mean by that it's fine to, you know, get into lots of trouble financially. That's hard work because some of us have done it and been there and all the rest of it. But if we're at peace and we know God is our provider, those of you who are seeking work at the moment, God is your provider. I know there's those of you in here that would testify to that, that God has kept you in a time of no work and he's provided for you. Some people in this fellowship for many, many years have been in that situation and God has continued to provide for them. And they're at peace. That's an awesome God, isn't it? An awesome God. Verse 17 of those verses. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off. That's us. And to those who were near. And that was the Jews. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. That's amazing. That's amazing. Who's for walking in this morning? As we start this new year. Yep. All of us, I really believe, have a desire to walk at peace. You know, I mean, just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I don't struggle the same as you do, or do. And I know Paul does too. We're no different, you know. We're all the same. We're the body of Christ. And therefore, what happens with us will happen with you. Sometimes it's ahead, we know we're ahead of the game a bit, which is what we try to be, so that when it does happen with you, we're there for you. But it doesn't always happen like that. And sometimes you guys share stuff and think, God, oh, that's awesome, thank you. You know, and that's the way it should be. The body works like that. So this morning, I just want us to stand up, please, if you would just stand. Just remember what the Lord said to us a bit earlier about his holiness. About that he has made us holy. And we are holy. As we go out of this place this morning, you have friends and family and neighbours. Now this is not the pressure, all right? This is not the pressure. You have family, friends, neighbours, work colleagues. Some of you people you work with for probably many, many years. People who may now be in a situation of a threat of redundancy because of the financial crisis the rest of the world is in. You are a kingdom person. You have kingdom peace. You have kingdom authority. You have kingdom provision. You have kingdom holiness. You have kingdom righteousness. You have kingdom peace. You have kingdom peace. Since the Lord is saying this morning to some of you here, three people here. You need to undo something that you did, you thought was right at the time, and it's actually turned out not to be, and you've been afraid to undo it because of what other people will say. And the Lord is saying, it doesn't matter what other people say, undo it. Before me this morning, choose to undo it, and I'll restore your peace. I don't know who that is or what that is, but you need to respond to that. That may be a very difficult thing for you to do, but God knows, and he'll give you the grace to do it. Some of you, because, and this isn't to bring condemnation upon you, of your lifestyle, you've had more than your fair share of sickness and illness in this last year. The Holy Spirit is saying, it is time to address the way you live. It is time to address the way you live. It is time to look at things in your life that you do, that are currently a part of your life, that are putting an undue pressure and stress on you and robbing you of my peace. Jesus. To lift your arms up to the Lord. I spoke about a blanket of peace as I started this morning, and I can just see that. It's just like a thick cloud that's just coming. Just stand here for a few minutes, just receive it. Just receive it. Thank you, Jesus. Peace is coming. There's somebody being healed of a headache here this morning. It's been a stress-induced headache. It's the peace of God is touching you. That headache is going for the first time in a lot of days. If God is healing irritable bowel syndrome in three or four people in this room right now because his peace is removing the stress and the issues that have caused that. Receive his peace. Receive his peace. Receive him. Gift of peace. Some of you have a fear for the future, for this year. Things are not looking good. The Lord would say to you, fear not, for I am with you. I am your peace. I will be your peace. Fear not. Where there is fear, there is no peace. The Lord is saying, surrender the fear. Reject the fear, and my peace will remove it. His love is just coming. His love and his peace are coming and touching you. Some of you younger folk, you guys who are at college, the Holy Spirit is just saying to you, be at peace. Be at peace. Just receive my peace this morning. Receive my peace for your future. Don't be tempted to strive, be anxious, be fearful. Receive my peace, for I have your future in my hands, says the Lord. Of peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Be anxious about nothing. but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.